Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that's gone on for our children and their gifts, for their leaders, for this church and the work it does in this community and is doing around the world through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering and through our cooperative program giving. For the love we have for each other, the tolerance we have for each other, Lord, help us to be your light. And now, Father, hide me behind the cross, and may we share a word about joy. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the Psalms, to the 98th Psalm. Psalm 98. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Let me welcome you. I was glad I'm after the service closes, my only half will be at the door. I'm going to head out the door and back across the street. I will be back here tonight. If you need a hug, come over and I'll give you one. I had originally planned this morning to spend this morning with the children up here and... Because I don't want them sick for Christmas and you not bringing my Christmas gift after I get them sick for Christmas, I chose to do something different. In the 98th Psalm, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Verse 4, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre. With the lyre, the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, and the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together with joy before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." Now, I don't know about you. I've read that psalm. I've used it in my devotional time before. And it wasn't until recently that I discovered something. And I want you to take your hymn book now, if you will. You can close your Bible, take your hymn book, and turn to page 87. No, we're not going to sing. I won't do that to Mildred and Sarah. Hymn 87 is called "Joy to the World." 300 plus years ago, Isaac Watts, an Anglican pastor, in spending time and meditating on Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9, did something really that was not acceptable in the church that day, because every time you sang, you were to take a song and really take one of the psalms and put it to music. That's what the psalms were. They originally were worship hymns. Isaac Watts took a little bit of literary license, we might say, and he created this beautiful, beautiful hymn that we've sung for years. "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and then we have joy to the earth, and no more let sin." So out of this hymn this morning, and using Psalm 98, 1 through 9, really is the source of that, I want to talk about Christmas joy. We lit the joy candle this morning. It would have been a great joy to me to see Russell break into the Jingle Bell Rock. But it would not have been a great joy for his mother or his wife. I knew that. And his father might have gotten a kick out of it. And if we'd have had it filmed, it would have been a great joy to have it screen. You know, Christmas joy is something we all should experience. But let's just be honest. Sometimes Christmas can be anything but joyful. It can be difficult. That is an intense time. Rose and I are glad that we're so glad we're at Holloway's for a number of reasons, but one of the churches that I used to pastor had numerous Sunday school classes, and every Sunday school class had a party. And the pastor and his wife were expected to be at those parties. Now, there aren't so many weekends or days in the weekend that you can be there, so there were some times that I was at three parties. I weighed 128 pounds when I went to that church. I shouldn't lie, should I? But I'm serious. We sometimes, we'd go and eat at this one at 5, and this one at 6, and this one at 7, and go home and go, oh, Lord. You know, there wasn't a lot of joy in that, though it was a festive occasion. Christmas can be tough with shopping and trying to come up with gifts. It can be a time of intense loneliness for those that don't have somebody. They're reminded. It can be a time of crushing grief when somebody we love is not with us. I know that. It was December the 24th, 1976, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that my mother finished her journey and went home for Christmas. I know what it's like to experience that. And then there are parties and plays that we're just so excited when they're over. That's what the parents are saying. If I got to go to that church one more time on a Saturday afternoon, joy, it doesn't seem very joyful. It's kind of like the lady, her hands are full of packages and hooked everywhere. You can think of, she's waiting for the elevator the third time. The third time it comes up, it's still full. The people kind of look because she's got that joyful look on her face. They kind of squeeze back and they get in there and the door. The lady thinking to herself thinks out loud, you know what? They ought to arrest the dude that came up with his Christmas stuff. They ought to hang him after they arrest him. Several of the people in the elevator who had numerous packages and Christmas joy said, you're right. I like what the fella said as they all began to get off the elevator. He said they did 2,000 years ago. They arrested him and they hung him on a cross. You see, it's easy to forget that our Christmas joy doesn't come from all the stuff, all the things we do. But it comes from a source in heaven. You see, I want to tell you there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness you can manufacture. Happiness can be fleeting. But joy is something, real joy that the Lord gives us. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, rejoice again always. Again, I say rejoice. And when Paul said that, he was in a Roman prison, shackled to a soldier, no chance of freedom, knowing that his death was coming. What was it that could allow Paul to say that? Paul had experienced supernatural joy. And I want to spend just a few more minutes this morning looking at that and using this hymn as our source. But remember, the hymn really is a translation of Psalm 98. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now, that ought to bring joy to most folks. It doesn't. There are people that reject our Lord. But the beauty of the beginning of the hymn in this first verse, where we spend our time for a few minutes, is that there is joy when the Lord comes and that the Lord is received. Folks, I am so glad that there's but one Lord. He's not a Lord. He is the Lord.
Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come into the midst of dark Palestine. Came a little baby. And that baby's birth changed the world forever. Because of that birth, those of you and I, who are believers, have a source of joy that can override our sadness. Yes, there are sad times. It's been many, many years, but at 1 o'clock on December the 24th, I pause if I remember and think of my mother going home for Christmas, and I I miss her, but I look forward. The joy that I have inside is that I'm going to be with her again one day. I'm going to spend many more Christmases with her than I've ever spent without her. You think about that for a moment. Many more with them, those we love. When the joy is received, now listen to what it says. Let the earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. That was the beauty of that psalm where it said, let the hills shout and the rivers clap and the seas roar. There's joy when you receive the King, the Savior. You know, if you don't have the Savior, you really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
The Savior is that that brings joy, and when he is received, your life will change forever. When I received the Savior, my life changed. Did it mean that everything would be joyous and happy? No. December 24th can't come when I don't think of my mom. But I think of the joy that my mother knew Jesus. And I tell people, the one thing my mother wanted in the last part of her time is she said these words. She said, I want to be home for Christmas. And I thought, this was really before hospice. Hospice really was just in its early stages getting started. And my father with his children there didn't want to bring her home, knew that he couldn't look after her. And yet we didn't understand that when Mother took her last breath here on earth and stepped in the hands of her Savior, that there was a joy there. There was a smile there because she was home for Christmas. The joy of the Savior is what helps me when days have gone dark and times are tough. I don't know about you. Maybe you need to remember again the joy that you've received because you've received the Savior. Yeah, this world's a tough place. But guess what? When you finish here, guess what? I'm going to give you men a hallelujah. This ought to make a man want to dance. When you breathe your last breath here, you don't ever have to buy your wife another Christmas present. Amen. Now, I don't mean we don't love you, ladies, but it can be tough, okay? Or, ladies, you don't ever have to buy your husband another one, because if my wife ever buys me another cardigan sweater, I'm going to die. That's a story for another day, but at 24 years old, my wife bought me a cardigan sweater for Christmas. Those of you that like cardigan sweaters, God bless you and, you know, all those other wonderful things. I don't wear them to this day. But how many 24-year-olds want a cardigan sweater? So, Rose, you don't have to buy any more. There's joy in Christmas. The second verse, look at what it says. Joy to the earth. The Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Folks, we live in a world that is experiencing great difficulty. It seems like that it's out of control, that there is no hope. But I got news for you. He came the first time, and he's coming for his church. He's coming for his people. The Savior reigns. But what that really means is this. It's not enough to know Jesus as your Savior. It's when he becomes your Lord. It's when you get to the point after your salvation, as you're growing in the Lord, that you say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. One of the most beautiful songs, new songs of Christmas, is it came out about probably 5 years ago. It's called Jesus Take the Wheel. Can't remember who.
Carrie Underwood.
Who?
Carrie Underwood.
Talks about she's driving her car with her little baby headed home, and she ends up in a spin on black ice. But she says these wonderful words, Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Folks, that's what letting Jesus reign means. It means letting him make decisions for you. I've thought about this as I've thought of that, of decisions that I've made that I let the Lord make for me. None of them have ever turned out badly. I'll be real honest with you. I was not actively pastoring. And an ad came out in the Biblical Recorder of a church down in Southmont. Whatever in God's name that was, I thought for a few moments. I know where South Lot was. I don't mean to be ugly. You probably don't know where Rosebury is. I pastored there too. And I saw the Holloway's Baptist Church and I looked it up and I thought, interesting. In our association, probably some good people there. Probably some bad people that I just had to say that. I'm sorry. But I said, Lord, I don't know what you have next for me. Rose and I are taking a bit of a break and we're trying to heal and go through some things. Lord, take the wheel. Take it from my hands and you take me to the place where you want me. And he brought me here. And the Savior reigns. Letting the Savior reign means that he'll steer your life. For you young people, maybe where you go to college, maybe where you go to work, if you'll ask him, he'll steer you to the right place. Who you marry. Rose has told her a story here that she had asked the Lord to give her a Christian husband. Got to the point where I surrendered to ministry and she went, I asked for a Christian husband. I didn't ask for a preacher. The Savior reigns. We sing that song in church at times at the little chorus, My God reigns. My God reigns. Does he reign? Is he making? What area of your life is the Savior not reigning in? And if you're not, I don't mean the reign, I mean ruling in, that's where you're going to have difficulty. Let the Savior reign. Look at verse 3. That's the one we never sing. We don't like that one. Goes too long. Got to get on with the service, don't they, Ruth? You can't sing too many. No more let sins and sorrows grow. There is great joy when a sinner repents. Do you realize in the story of the 90 and 9, the parable that Jesus tells at the end of that is one of the most beautiful statements in all the scripture. We just skip over it because we think of the lost sheep and the 90 and 9 and the parable of the lost coin and then the prodigal son. But at the end of that first part, it says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than there are 99 lost, 99 saved people. You see, oftentimes in church, when we pray, we're having an organ recital. Aunt Susie's gallbladder, Joe's toe. Most of the time when we're praying for people that are already saved, that if they die, they're going to heaven anyway. I covet your prayers. I want to get over whatever I've got. Don't want to give it to you. But I tell you what, if you've only got a little time to pray, pray for lost folks. There are people in our community that don't know Jesus. They don't want anything to do with him. Or the Jesus they've seen from the church and from others is not the real Jesus. Not the one that spreads his arms wide and says, I don't care what you've done, what you look like, how you smell, what color you are, anything else. Come to me. Come to me. That's what he says. Oh, no more let sin grow. The curse is broken. I am so glad that I'm bound for heaven because Jesus broke the curse of sin upon my life. The book of Romans says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat and the boat's sinking unless you accept the life preserver called Christ. What about you today? Do you have joy? Do you have the joy of the Savior? Do you have joy? Do you need as a sinner to repent? Say, I repent of my sin. It was just last Sunday, back in Ruth's office, I spent some time with a young girl. You know, it's kind of hard when you're that age and kind of like me, you know, you hadn't sinned much. But I asked him, I said, do you understand what sin is?
Yes.
And you're asking Christ to forgive you of your sin?
Yes.
You know what's good about getting saved young? All those sins you're going to commit in the future are already covered.
Amen.
And that young man with his parents right there prayed a prayer with the pastor and gave his heart to the master.
Amen.
We'll be sharing his news with you soon. There's joy in that, and there's joy in the last verse. No more. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Oh, folks, how I pray and wish people like Shirley MacLaine, a great actress, and people like Oprah. Y'all know who Oprah is? Oprah Winfrey, that's what I call her. How Oprah would come to the knowledge of the truth that there's not many ways to cross to the Father but one. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. Jesus said, if you want to come to the Father, you come to me because I am the truth. And the way you do that is not by being perfect, but by receiving my grace. Oh, man, what a mess we'd be in. Brett, what a mess you'd be in if it wasn't for grace. What a mess I would be in if it wasn't for grace. I like the young preacher that was preaching his first sermon, wanting to impress his church. He put in the bulletin, grace is more than a blue-eyed blonde. You just never know. Joy. Do I feel real great right now? No, but I look good, don't I? You knew I was going to get that in. See, I'm enjoying this because the bow that they hung up there is covering the clock. And I can't read my watch because my eyes are fogged. So is it time for another hour of this? No, Rose? There's joy. The Savior has come. There's joy. When you let him reign in your life, there's joy over a sinner that repents, that comes home. And there's joy because of he is the truth and he offers grace, not condemnation. I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you have joy. I know that there are people in this congregation that are sad. They have the joy, but they're sad because this Christmas, life's turned a chapter with them. Something's different than before. But I just want to remind you that joy to the world, the Lord has come. And to give you a good word as we close, he came the first time as a baby. He's coming the second time for his children. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that as we leave here today, we leave with a sense of joy. Not of happiness. Happiness is fleeting. But joy. The joy of knowing that you have come. You stepped out of heaven and came down to us. The joy of allowing you to reign in our lives. There are people here, Lord, that there are areas of their life they need to let go of today and let you be the leader. You guide them. You steer them. Lord, there are people here today that need to repent of their sin. They need to say, Father, I'm going to repent of my sin. They need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, just like everybody else. And I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. And come into my heart and be my Savior. Lord, if they'll pray that prayer, you'll save them that quick. They don't have to clean up. They don't have to dress up. They just have to step up. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we give you glory because of that. I thank you for the privilege of being in this church today, Lord. I thank you for a people that love you, that love their community. And Lord, I pray tonight as we gather with our children for a time of celebration and they're using their gifts and their talents and just coming and enjoying them, seeing in them the real joy of Christmas, that we'll experience it this year. Lord, I know there are people here that are hurting, that are grieving, that have needs. They're wondering, what do I do? What step do I take here? Where do I go next? If they'll just ask you, Lord, to take control, to take the wheel, and if you'll take it from their hands, you will guide them. Amen and amen.